So now let's hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Tato Jayam Ujirayat. It's our very means of conquest. And we'll be hearing from the prayers of Queen Kunti on page number 429. Now, you don't have a page number. What you have is a packet of stapled together black and whites. And the shloka number is 27. 1-8-27, as far as shlokas go. Namo kinchana vitaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramayam shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo kinchana vitaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo kinchana vitaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Please chant. Namo kinchana vittaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo kinchana vittaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha.
Namo kinchana vittaya.
Namo kinchana vittaya.
Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo kinchana vittaya.
Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya.
Kaivalya pataye namaha.
Namo kinchana vittaya.
Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha.
Namo kinchana vittaya.
Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya.
Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo kinchana vittaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya.
Kaivalya pataye namaha.
Namo kinchana vrittaya.
Namo kinchana vittaya.
Nivritta guna vrittaye.
Atmaramaya shantaya.
Kaivalya pataye namaha.
Puja. Namo kinchana vittaya. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Atmaramaya shantaya. Kaivalya pataye namaha. Namaha.
Namaha.
All obeisances unto you. Akinchanabhitaya. Unto the property of the materially impoverished. Nivritta. Completely transcendental. To the actions of the material modes. Guna. Material modes. Vrittaye. Affection. Atma Aramaya.
One who is self-satisfied.
Shandaya.
The most gentle.
Kaibalya Pataye.
Unto the master of the monist.
Namaha.
Bowing down.
Translation.
My obeisances are unto you who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are the master of the monas.
Moga Prabhu, would you read the purport? Do you mind? Could you give him the microphone, please?
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Before we read, I will just remind everyone that Srila Prabhupada is personally present in this purport. So you're actually directly associating with Srila Prabhupada personally when you're hearing this purport. It's no different, literally. No different than Srila Prabhupada being personally present right here and speaking this to each one of us personally. A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childish proclivities to gain better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual value. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Dasa Goswami and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service of the Lord. They were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Dasa Goswami was the son of a big zamindar of his time. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. There is a nice story about Srila Sanatana Goswami. He had a touchstone with him, and this stone was left in a pile of refuse. A needy man took it, but later on wondered why the valuable stone was being kept in such a neglected place. He therefore asked him for the most valuable thing, and then he was given the holy name of the Lord. Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee or mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. The touchstone of Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami, otherwise it would not have been kept in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotees just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Srila Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no such spiritual vision. Advancement of material vision or material civilization is a great stumbling block for spiritual advancement. Such material advancement entangles the living being in the bondage of a material body, followed by all sorts of material miseries. Such material advancement is called anartha, or things not wanted. Actually, this is so. In the present context of material advancement, one uses lipstick at a cost of 50 cents, and there are so many unwanted things which are all products of the material conception of life. By diverting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization, the prime necessity of human life. The attempt to reach the moon is another example of spoiling energy, because even if the moon is reached, the problems of life will not be solved. The devotees of the Lord are called akinchanas because they have practically no material assets. Such material assets are all products of the three modes of material nature. They foil spiritual energy, and thus the less we possess such products of material nature, the more we have a good chance for spiritual progress. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no direct connection with material activities. All his acts and deeds, which are exhibited even in this material world, are spiritual and without affection for the modes of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that all his acts, even his appearance and disappearance in and out of the material world, are transcendental. And one who knows this perfectly shall not take his birth again in this material world, but will go back to Godhead. The material disease is due to hankering after and lording it over material nature. This hankering is due to an interaction of the three modes of nature, and neither the Lord nor the devotees have attachment for such false enjoyment. Therefore, the Lord and the devotees are called Nivritta Gunavritti. The perfect Nivritta Gunavritti is the Supreme Lord, because he never becomes attracted by the modes of material nature, whereas the living beings have such a tendency. Some of them are entrapped by the illusory attraction of material nature. Because the Lord is the property of the devotees, and the devotees are the property of the Lord reciprocally, the devotees are certainly transcendental to the modes of material nature. That is a natural conclusion. Such unalloyed devotees are distinct from the mixed devotees who approach the Lord for mitigation of miseries and poverty, or because of inquisitiveness and speculation. The unalloyed devotees and the Lord are transcendentally attached to one another. For others, the Lord has nothing to reciprocate, and therefore he is called Atmarama, self-satisfied. Self-satisfied as he is, he is the master of all monists who seek to merge into the existence of the Lord. Such monists merge within the personal effulgence of the Lord, called the Brahmajyoti. But the devotees enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which are never to be misunderstood as material.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sarvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine
Sri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga virudhapa siddhanta dvantaharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaurashakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam surato pangor mama manda matergati masarva svapadam bojo radha marana mohano divya vrindaranya kalpa dhrumadha srimad ratna ghara singhasanastav srimad radha shila govinda devo prishtali bi sevya manu smarami Srimandra Sharasharambi Vamshivata Tatasitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsidevai Priyai Keshavasita Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachava Jai Namo Namaha Shringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Narasingha Prahalada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Kinchana Bhitaya, Nivritta Guna Vrittaye, Atma Ramaya Shantaya, Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. Sometimes devotees who were working in ISKCON during the time when Prabhupada was here, of course, and growing a large mission, there's always some kind of difficulty or conflict. As we know, just from having a small operation here, there's a lot of moving parts and personalities involved. And of course, when Srila Prabhupada was present, there were many many souls came forward who had some impetus to manage and move forward and so on and so forth. And so sometimes there would be conflict and devotees would feel dissatisfied for one reason or another, that they'd have an argument with a god brother or some difficulty in either in their own spiritual life or with their mission that they were trying to carry out. And oftentimes it would come to the point where they would come to see Srila Prabhupada to try to rectify the situation. And in many such cases,
when the devotees would come, they would be all disturbed and bothered and sometimes fly from a distant place to come try to work out the problem, whatever it was. And when they'd come in to see Srila Prabhupada, offer obeisances, come into his room, then oftentimes they would forget why they, what was the problem. Because there was an atmosphere around Prabhupada that made you forget the problems of the material world, and his association was so powerful that he could nullify a lot of the discrepancies just by being in his company, and devotees would forget about their problems. Of course, at other times, Prabhupada would have to preach, and he did. He wrote thousands of letters. Before the internet was available, he wrote thousands of letters. You know, they were all hand-typed, actually. His secretary would type them, and he would dictate the gist of the letter, and he would send them out. And he would, that way he was managing a worldwide organization where new centers were starting, decisions had to be made. We know how many decisions have to be made here on a regular basis. And, you know, as we're trying to move forward and trying to find more volunteers for this or that, and, you know, what to speak of a whole worldwide organization that was going on like that. And in the midst of all that, and even sometimes, you know, the most disheartening thing is when people come and they're enthusiastic and then they volunteer and then all of a sudden they, for one reason or another, usually by Maya, they just go away. Well, that's really disheartening. And it happened all the time. You know, people would come and then they would leave because they would become weak and leave the service. And how Prabhupada must have felt, you know. But he went on and he continued to push Krishna consciousness without becoming disturbed by that. Of course, he was disturbed when devotees would have difficulties or would leave or would have conflict, but he would go on pushing Krishna consciousness. And there's a way in which this verse is talking about how the devotee is eternally related with Krishna in pure devotional service. That he has no motivation other than to please the Lord and to please his spiritual master in rendering such service. There's nothing that he's asking in return, and he has no material desire. And he has nothing that he's holding back. So this is akinchana. Akinchana means something, that I have something, and akinchana means I don't have something. I don't have anything. And it's from this position that one can actually perform devotional service and become solidly situated in this process. The devotees of the Lord are like tirthas because they have this mood of being akinchana or desireless without any motivation. And by getting their association, then we can also feel the effect of that and become inspired in devotional service. Everywhere a devotee goes is like becomes a holy tirtha because of that, because he carries the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. And this is the main need for the human form of life, is to have this kind of association and to come to this understanding of devotional service, of pure devotional service. Otherwise, the things of this world, the engagements that we have here are very disturbing and ultimately become not a source of satisfaction, but a source of disturbance for our actual life. So, meditating on this verse gives us an inkling to the real nature of how to become self-satisfied, to become situated in devotional service, which is beyond the need for any kind of material remuneration, which is the standard of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Prochita Kaitavo Tra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. The Bhagavatam begins at this point, this standard, that it rejects all religious activities that are materially motivated, and it propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. And that truth uproots the threefold miseries. Otherwise, without that standard of pure devotional service, then one is cheated, actually, and doesn't get the real thing in life. So the Bhagavatam is giving this standard, and it is being distributed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave us the basic principles of what is really valuable in life. We all want to have something. This is the nature, as Prabhupada says here in the beginning of the purport. As soon as you don't want to have something, it means you're not a living entity anymore. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto, nahi kashchit shanamapi jatu tishchatya karmakrit. Krishna just says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the living entity always desires something. He's always moving, trying to get something. So when we're concentrated on the things of this world, they come and go, and we become frustrated by them unlimitedly. But when we get knowledge about who the proprietor of those things are, then naturally we don't have attachment for them. This knowledge, actually, jnana, it fosters detachment from the world. And an example is that if you're in a store standing in line at your local 99-cent store, and you see somebody in front of you in the line drop $10 out of his pocket, then you don't really, unless you're a real devious kind of person, you don't really become attached to the $10, because you know where it came from. It fell out of that person's pocket, so it's an easy thing. You don't all of a sudden become attached and say, oh, that's my $10. You pick it up and you hand it back to the person. You say, oh, excuse me, you dropped $10. In fact, everyone will do that practically. They'll say, oh, excuse me, sir, you dropped $10. Because they know where it came from. They have that knowledge. On the other hand, if you were walking in the parking lot and you saw $10 blowing in the wind, you'd pick it up and you'd say, well, I guess it's mine. Because you don't see the connection. But when you see the connection, actually, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyafamam Shantam Richati, then it's automatic. When you understand who the proprietor of things is, that knowledge necessarily makes you detached, because you say, well, I'm not the proprietor. It's for lack of that, thinking, oh, I might be the proprietor. Maybe I can enjoy this, that we suffer. But when we can gain this valuable knowledge about who we are, that actually we're really servants of Krishna, and Krishna really does own everything, then we become happy, because we become akinchana naturally. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. By rendering service, devotional service to Vasudeva, then there's two concomitant factors that you get from rendering service, and that is knowledge and detachment from the world. It comes automatically as a result. So this is necessary to cultivate the sambandha jnana, to understand who I am and who's Krishna and what is my relationship. When I understand that, then I'll actually be able to act in this world in a way that I'm not becoming more and more bound up. And the culmination of that is in this akinchana bhakti. And this whole Brihat Bhagavatam Rita gives a step-by-step summary of what is that akinchana bhakti, leading to the mood of Vrindavan, the devotees of Vrindavan, where practically they have forgotten themselves and any of their self-interest in order to serve Krishna. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he was sent there by Krishna to deliver a note to the gopis. Because, of course, Krishna had gone away from Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj had taken him out of Vrindavan. Nanda went to pay taxes, and he took Krishna along. And they said, oh, we'll bring him right back, you know. And, of course, Nanda didn't come back with Krishna. And how everyone must have felt when he didn't come back. And anyway, Krishna, he had gone away for a long, long time. And he was in Dwarka. Part of that being away for such a long time in Dwarka, according to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, was to shed light on the standard of devotion of the devotees in Vrindavan. Because while he is away for so long, all they could do was remember Krishna. All they could do was think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Practically, some of them were paralyzed by, you know, this separation from Krishna. So Uddhava, who's a great devotee of the Lord, was sent by Krishna back to Vrindavan to deliver a note to the gopis. And actually, Krishna was sending Uddhava to Vrindavan to get an education in what is the highest standard of devotion. Because of course, Uddhava is in an extremely high position as a confidant and an advisor of Krishna and a close friend. He's, you know, in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's wonderful verses Krishna has spoken where he says, no one's more dear to me than Uddhava. And then, of course, he's sending Uddhava to Vrindavan to see the standard of devotion of the gopis. And he does this by sending a note. And when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, first he went to the house of Nanda and Yashoda, who were extremely pleased to see him and greeted him. And while he was in that house, his chariot was parked outside. And the gopis saw that and they thought, oh, who is this? Is this a Kura coming back again? They said, well, he can't hurt us anymore. He already took the soul of our lives away. So there's nothing more he can do to us. He's so cruel. He already ruined us by taking away Krishna. When Kura came the first time, and he took Krishna away on a chariot. And so then the next day when Krishna delivered this note from Krishna to the gopis, there was this information in there that was actually ludicrous in a way, because Krishna was preaching to them about, you know, they should be fixed in knowledge, jnana, and everything. But the gopis were already way beyond knowledge. Like jnanis, they try to become detached from the material world, like it's described here, kaivalya pateya namaha. You know, they try to become detached from the material world. But this means they're running away from suffering, running away from this world. Those who are bhuktis, they want to enjoy the world, they're running towards the world. The jnanis, they're running away from the material world. The devotees, they don't run away from or they don't embrace the material world. They only engage everything in Krishna's service. They're always absorbed in Krishna. They see everything in relationship to the Lord and they engage in his service. There's no question of preaching to the gopis about detachment or jnana. They can't forget Krishna. The goal, of course, of the Vedas described how ante narayana smriti, to remember Narayana at the time of death. And Krishna says, yang vapi smaran bhavam, you know, whatever you remember at the time of death, you'll remember. But and fix your mind on me. He describes to the yogis in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita the process, wherever your mind goes, you know, if it wanders, bring it back to the self and so on. But the gopis, they're in so much pain of separation from Krishna, they try to forget Krishna, but they can't because they're so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So when he showed them the notes, the note from Krishna, and he was telling them, and Uddhava was also telling them, trying to preach to them about, you know, detachment and everything like that, he realized the futility of that, and he saw the high standard of the gopis. Practically in madness, they were thinking of Krishna.
So much so that while he was showing them the note and talking to them, a bumblebee came and was flying around Srimati Radharani. And she saw this bumblebee and she began speaking to it. And she saw this bumblebee as an ordinary bumblebee, as a messenger from Krishna. So she began speaking, chastising this bee. Said, I know who you are. You've come from Krishna. You're a messenger from Krishna. You're an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. And so I know you're Krishna. When Bali and Sugriva were having their fight, and Krishna, you know, he went and he killed he killed Bali. Yeah, he sided with Sugriva. He went behind a tree and he shot him with an arrow. He killed him, and he said, as Vamanadeva, you know, we know how he came, and he took away everything from Bali Maharaj, even though he only asked for 3 steps of land. We know how he operates. And she was saying all these things about Krishna, and she was saying, even criticizing the bee, you know, you six-legged thing. And then the bee flew away, and then she began to lament that, oh no, she's going to go tell Krishna everything I said. And she became very disturbed that, oh no, then Krishna, then he might really never come back. And then finally the bee came back again. She said, no, please, I'm glad you're here. Please tell Krishna that, you know, we're very ready to receive him and we hope that he comes back. So this is described by Rupa Goswami and the others who have commented on these pastimes. That there's this jalpo, pratijalpo, all this mad talk. There's all this kind of madness in devotional service. They're so absorbed in Krishna. When Narada Muni was speaking once to Krishna, Krishna wanted to show him the high standard of the residents of Vrindavan, of the gopis. And he had said that I have a headache and I need to cure my headache by getting some foot dust from my devotees. And Narada was thinking, who's going to give foot dust for Krishna to put on his head? It'd be a great aparadha and, you know, just go to hell for that. So why would he give it? So Narada went off to find some devotee who would give foot dust, and nobody would say, oh, says, sure, no, yeah. Good joke, you know, I can't offer my foot dust. And then he came back and said, no one will offer foot dust. And then Krishna said, you go ask those, you know, the cowherd women from that village in Vrindavan. And he said, okay. So he went there and they immediately offered. He has a headache? Yes, we can give the foot dust. They said, don't you know what that means? That, you know, by giving foot dust, you go to hell. Well, it doesn't matter to us as long as Krishna's headache is cured. So he could see that they had no personal motivation. They were a kinchana. They simply wanted to serve Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachirupasana Vraja Vidu Vargena Valkalpita. That the highest method for worshipping Krishna was exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. That they were selflessly engaged in service of the Lord with without any motivation whatsoever. So they epitomize the highest standard of this akinchana bhakti. So this Sankirtan movement, engaging in Sankirtan, is the pathway to coming to this Vraja bhakti. Because by serving, as Amogha Prabhu enlightened us early this morning, the real Bhagavatam class, you missed, some of you who weren't here, he said, by engaging in a humble way as a servant of Prabhupada, by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, by engaging in the Sankirtan, this is actually the process to come to this unmotivated position. And we commented a little bit about Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahurva Muktes. Because by serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya,
in an unmotivated way, in a strict way, by serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we'll naturally come to this position of and mood of serving Krishna the way the gopis serve in Vrindavan, in an unmotivated way. Years ago, talking about dedication to the Sankirtan movement and giving oneself for the selfless service of distributing Krishna consciousness to others, one devotee in Los Angeles who was really pushing the Sankirtan movement was preaching like this and saying that this Sankirtan, this mood of going out to bring others closer to Krishna in an unmotivated way. We're not going out to make money, although Lakshmi comes. We don't need it. None of us here. We're not, it's not some motivated thing. We're going out for the sake of giving Krishna consciousness to others, to see others come closer to Krishna. This is the mood of Srimati Radharani, that she is always trying to bring others closer to Krishna, others in the group, so that they can be close to Krishna, especially if it's advantageous for the service of Krishna. So this Sankirtan, going out to give others an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, this is the mood of Srimati Radharani. This type of service is very high kind of service. And as I was saying, one devotee was preaching like this, and some people thought it was over the top, that how the Sankirtan, book distribution, this type of thing, this is, speaking of how this is the mood of the gopis, maybe you're getting a little sahaja. So they wrote to Prabhupada, which was a nice facility to have, to be able to write to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, such and such is saying that Sankirtan and book distribution, this is the mood of the gopis. And so, what do you say, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada wrote back, this letter is published, it's in the book, in the letter book. He said, yes, this is correct. This is the mood of the gopis, this Sankirtan. Because it is the unmotivated glorification of the Lord and bringing people closer into in a cooperative spirit, like in the Rasa dance. The gopis are all dancing in a circle, and as soon as there was any feeling that, oh, I'm special, I'm the only one, then Krishna left. So it requires a very high degree to be in this kind of association where we're cultivating this akinchana bhakti, even though we're still in a preliminary stage and we have many material desires and obligations and things that are maybe harassing us. Still, if we cooperate and work together for this Sankirtan, this is in this circle. If we keep an unmotivated mood that we're not doing for some fame, or we're not doing gain any material thing, but we're doing as to bring other souls closer to Krishna consciousness and to please our acharyas. If we do that and we cooperate together, we work together in order to get this done, because it, as we know, there's a lot of moving parts. We have cooking, we have cleaning, we have packing, we have distribution. There's so much planning that goes into it. Taking care of the Lakshmi afterwards is no small thing. Accounting has to be done. All these things together with the mood of spreading Krishna consciousness. We're not trying to build some, high-tech company so that we can get rich or something, rich, rich, and richer. But we're doing this to please Krishna. And so this is the mood of Vrindavan, actually. So we can feel satisfied that we are in the right place at the right time, and we can take shelter of this Sankirtan process of personally practicing Krishna consciousness with the mood of no motivation and working together cooperatively with the other devotees with no sense of false ego, trying to help the others come closer. And when we see others come to Krishna consciousness, or when we see our god brothers and our god sisters and our associates, we should do the best that we can to help them move up in Krishna consciousness. This is the, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that this is what devotees do, that
Machita magata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Go ahead. Machita magata prana, that their mind, machita, their minds are always absorbed in me. Their prana, their life air is always engaged in glorifying me. Makata prana, bodhayanta parasparam. They're always speaking about Krishna to one another. Katayanta shamam nityam. Their kata is always about me. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. And therefore they're getting tushanti and ramanti. Satisfaction and bliss. So this is the way to get satisfaction and bliss. This is sankirtan. It means cooperating together so that we can hear about Krishna, so that we can broadcast the message of Krishna everywhere. And that way we'll feel satisfaction and we'll feel great happiness. And then we should go on like this and cultivate this akinchana, devotional service, knowing it's the only thing that Krishna will actually be attracted to. He's not attracted to anything else. I mean, he says, patram pushpam palam toyam, offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. But he doesn't really want a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. He wants the bhakti by which we're offering it. And so that's the only thing we really have to offer Krishna, is that unmotivated desire in our heart. The other things he has no need for. So we begin by offering whatever we have. We begin by offering whatever we have and try to go on in that way. So Krishna says, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you do, do it as a service to me. But ultimately, the highest standard is this akinchana, where we have no motivation in our heart except to serve Krishna purely. And a good way to do this is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees and try to cooperate in a way that we can accomplish some service that will attract Krishna's attention. And Sankirtan certainly attracted Prabhupada's attention. And he told us that it attracted the attention of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And these are devotees of enormous significance. Enormous significance. If you look at the power that they had to spread Krishna consciousness and the standing that they had within our parampara system, it's an enormous thing that they did. And certainly all the acharyas, but when we think of the acharyas that are close to us, who have given us this instruction for Sankirtan, we're in a very good position for this akinchana bhakti and to attract the attention of these acharyas if we work together cooperatively to spread Sankirtan. And we can, from that, expect that all good things will come. Prabhupada used to mention that he came to America with 40 rupees, and then at a certain point he said, now we have 40 crores of rupees. And how is that? Krishna is supplying. We don't have to go out of our way to make money. We have to preach Krishna consciousness purely. And Krishna can give us everything. For the akinchana devotee, he's right there. He's supplying everything. This is the doctrine of organic growth, otherwise known as dog. This dog's very faithful to its master and simply serves the master without, if a master starves it, he'll still stand there by the door and wait for the master. He won't go somewhere else. And if the master feeds him, he'll... So we have this dog philosophy also, the doctrine of organic growth, that we'll simply follow the system that is given to us. What we'll find out what pleases the spiritual master, and we'll do that. And sometimes devotees used to think that, well, maybe we need to do something different in order to spread Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can innovate in different ways to try to achieve that, but sometimes devotees would think, oh, this book distribution, maybe Prabhupada just didn't understand, he didn't know, or something like that. And then Prabhupada spoke to one devotee, and he said, because the devotee was interested in doing more like public relations kind of thing. He said, so you can please the spiritual master, or you can try to please the public. He said, so if the public tells you to dance naked in the street, then you'll have to do that. But the spiritual master has told you to perform sankirtan, to distribute books. So if you do that, he said, the spiritual master has not said you have to distribute so many books or a certain number of books. But he said, just try to do that, you know, please. So this is a kinshin of bhakti. We can pick up what's given to us through the acharya and try to do that with our life and soul. And then we'll get blessed. There will be a blessing there. And everything will come through the doctrine of organic growth. Just follow like a faithful dog what the spiritual master has given. And if he starves us, then okay. We're still happy. We still have our group. We can still come together and hear and chant. We're still able to see Rakshit Jariwala and Srivas Pandit and come see the devotees. We'll still be happy. But we'll go on trying the best we can to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. And in this way, they can bless us with this, more and more, with this akinchana bhakti, a selfless service to the Lord. And you'll find that in the devotees that we know within the ISKCON society, the sweetest ones are these devotees who are, they're going on trying to follow the order of the spiritual master, and they have a mood of great loyalty at the feet of their spiritual master and of their acharya. They won't budge from that. They won't move from that. And they become very, not in a fanatical way, but in a way that, you know, they're determined in their life to go on, even if there's trouble, and there will be. There'll be difficulties. It's not an easy task because the mind, the senses, they harass us all the time. Still, even the hands and the legs, these are only disciples we can really depend on, right? Four hands, four legs. I asked Prahladanandan Swami in New York, I was saying to him, you have some disciples, so how many? And he goes, I have four. Two hands, two legs. But we can barely even depend on them. So, you know, it's not easy. But if we hang on to this feeling of loyalty and depend on the higher authorities, you know, our divine guardians who are there for us, and we try to please them, then something will come down to us. It's very wonderful. And I think we've all felt that here, that by trying to please Bhaktivinoda Thakur on his appearance day, and his picture is still there. Whenever I see that picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I remember what happened for his disappearance day, how, you know, 84, 90 devotees went on sankirtan, and the feeling that it was that everyone was just working together. I mean, this is a kinshana bhakti. You know, everyone was just dropped everything to work together on this idea, let's please the Thakur. Let's please Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And you can't be any happier than that in this world. All these other things, trying to please yourself, you become unlimitedly distressed. Trying to please other people who are materially motivated, they just want more, and they'll squeeze you and then throw you away when they're done. But the acharyas are so kind and merciful that if we try to please them and follow in that line, then we'll become satisfied and we'll make actually great advancement in spiritual life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda came like the sun and moon. They arose on the horizon of Gauda. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gauda Dai Pushvanam Anto Chitro Shando Tamonido. They arose simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda like the sun and the moon coming up at the same time. And they've appeared in this age and somehow or other were fortunate to be a part of that a great movement of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So we should just take shelter in that and dive deeply as we can into our sadhana, our personal practice, and to this cooperative spirit for pushing on sankirtan. And then we'll run out the clock and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Go. So now we'll have the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, and then we'll sing Kali Kukur, and then today is Ekadashi. So there's a, will be a Kadashi Prashadam. And then we have a whole weekend ahead of us. Haribol.